Fans and greetings from Oco Coliseum on a beautiful day here in the other Bay Area, where your Buccaneers in just over an hour will be taking on the Oakland Raiders in an attempt to get back to 500 on the season and get in a good position for a second half playoff run. I'm Scott Smith of Buccaneers.com, and this is TJ Reeves of the Buccaneers Radio Network. TJ, the Bucs show they can win in a hostile atmosphere in their last game, winning at Minnesota, where it's unbelievably loud. It's not quite that way here in Oakland, but this place does have its own certain charm to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, of course, you know, you called it the right name. They call it the O.co Coliseum now. But I still love the Howard Cosell, the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. That's what this place is, better known as the Black Hole. And yeah, it's well documented the Bucs have not had a lot of success here, but as you mentioned, I mean, they went and handled business at a hostile environment against Minnesota. This new band of Buccaneers with Greg Schiano, they don't want to hear about history of not winning in right. Oakland. Just come out here, take care of business, and one of the things, just like in Minnesota, take the crowd out of the game. Do positive things to take the crowd out of the game.
And they did that last week by coming out very hot on offense, had a 14-0 lead early, if I remember correctly. And, the offense as a whole throughout the month of October was, on a per-game basis, the most productive one in the entire NFL. This is a new challenge here. The Raiders' defense has been playing pretty well. Do you think the Buccaneers' offense can stay on this roll?
That's what you're looking for, 34 points a game in October in those three games. And I thought one of the key moments of that game with the Vikings was when Adrian Peterson went on that long run in the third quarter and the place was going berserk. The Bucs kept their composure. They were able to make some plays, get the crowd back out of the game. There's probably going to be a moment today where the Raiders make a big play, whether it's a kickoff return, a long pass. You hope it's none, but there will probably be a moment where McFadden takes off or something. How do the Buccaneers respond and handle that adversity? And a lot of it, like you mentioned, is the offense, which, remember, at the end of the third quarter and the fourth quarter went on a 9-minute drive and really put the sleeper hold on that crowd. You'll take, I mean, if we're ordering that off the menu, Greg Schiano will take three of those today to eat the clock up.
And on that drive, Josh Freeman completed four straight, fairly long third downs, and the touchdown was on a third down as well. So, as you said, they ate off 9 minutes off the clock on that drive, and Josh Freeman was maybe at his best. Now, today, you hope he stays strong.
Yeah.
He's on a roll. That's what I'm looking for. And the concern, of course, however, is there's a change up front in front of him. We've seen the inactives and the lineup changes now. Coach Schiano was a little bit under the radar about it, but it appears, we know now, that Jeremy Zuda is going to slide from center to left guard and that Ted Larson is going to step in at center. The coaches think that that's the best position for both of those two guys.
And really, he told us on the radio pregame, it's going to air here in just a few minutes, I'll give you a little scoop, that part of that is because Jeremy Zuda had been playing left guard successfully over the last couple of years for this team, so it seemed a little more natural to put him there when Ted Larson had only played left guard here and there some during the season. And Larson does have experience snapping. He even snapped in the game a couple of weeks ago at home with the Saints when Zuda got injured. So that seemed to kind of be the natural move that you would make. And again, the Buccaneers have done a great job of plugging some guys in on the offensive line and making it work. Mm-hmm. So, it's not as if on the left side that Donald Penn and Jeremy Zuda are not familiar with each other.
True.
They are.
Yeah, and as you said, they plugged in Jamon Meredith, the right guard. And he was starting all that during the hot streak in October. But those guys on the interior line today have maybe their toughest challenge of the whole year. Those two DTs are Seymour and Kelly, and I know Coach Schiano says that's a big challenge.
Yeah, you got to try to move those guys out of the way, and that is going to be a big challenge for the Buccaneers on offense. And, back to the defensive side of the ball, by the same token, Gerald McCoy and Roy Miller have been playing very well, and if they're able to get pressure up front and push that pocket in on Carson Palmer, that's going to be a huge key to this game. So watching the defensive tackles on both sides of the line, that's going to be something to keep an eye on.
Well, that can segue us right into our little pick-to-click segment here.
Right.
I'm giving you a little hint of what may be to come. Last week, I think I might have taken that one.
You know what? Last week, you had Mike Williams, and
yeah.
I recall he had a touchdown.
He did have a touchdown. I had my little stats that told us number two receivers were good against the Vikings. Just by the way, on that note, the Raiders have been among the worst in the league against number one receivers. So if you're thinking about starting Vincent Jackson on your fantasy team, definitely do it. But for our pick to click, I'm going to go back to defense, and I'm going to pick Gerald McCoy, as you said. You know, both McCoy and Bennett were hot to start the season. They both had three sacks within the first three games. Adrian Claiborne went down. It seemed like it took a few games for that D-line to adjust. How are we going to get to the quarterback without Adrian Claiborne pulling so much attention? last week against Minnesota, you saw the pass rush start up again, and Michael Bennett was in the middle of it. I think Coach Sheridan's, Bill Sheridan, the offensive coordinator, said that even though he didn't have the sacks, Joe McCoy also had a very good game doing a lot of the hidden stuff. I say he does that again today, but also gets back to the quarterback.
All right, so you're going to go defense, and even though you just gave me that stat about Vincent Jackson, I was already on to Vincent Jackson.
All right,
past games with the Chargers. For whatever reason, he seems to like going against this team. And he had a little bit of a quiet game in Minnesota. I think with the extra rest, Vincent Jackson may be about to have a large day today. This is the kind of game on the road where if you're a big-time player, it shows itself in games like this. Watch out for Vincent Jackson, number 83 today, Scott.
Well, the good thing about this game is you can't go wrong no matter who wins, because we'd certainly like to see either one of those guys have a big game. On the other hand, the Buccaneers really do need a win. It's a matchup of 2-3-4 teams. Get back to 500, as I said at the top, get in a good position for a playoff run. You think if we can get to 500, we've got a shot at that.
Well, the P word is only going to get uttered if you're in contention. Get back to 4-4, and now you start playing games in November that have P word playoff relevance. So we're excited to see what happens here today. I know this Buccaneer team, again, one of the big keys, if something goes wrong, how do they respond in terms of the next drive or the next couple of drives or on defense the next couple of situations, because they did very well with that in Minnesota. So keep an eye on how the Bucs respond to adversity, if there is any. Maybe it's a big Buccaneer day and there is no adversity. Scott, we're about to find out.
Well, that would be nice. We'll see in a little over an hour when the Buccaneers take on the Raiders here at Oco Coliseum.